Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. September 26, 2023. Michael Leitman, on Quora, the memorial day for the passing of Kabbalist Yehuda Ashlag, Baal HaSulam. Today is the Yazd, the memorial day for the passing of Kabbalist Yehuda Ashlag, Baal HaSulam. According to the custom, we need to mark the date and day of the passing of our teacher, Baal HaSulam, the great Kabbalist who paved the path for the world's correction. Thanks to him, we know how to act in order to not get confused and err in the path of the Creator, that is, the path of connecting among each other in which to discover the Creator's eternal and perfect quality of love and bestowal. Baal HaSulam's entire path and his teaching is based on Kabbalists who preceded him, and we are thus happy in that there is such a teacher who can guide us on a path that advances us to the purpose of creation during our lives. Baal HaSulam left us many texts. He was the only Kabbalist in the 20th century who wrote commentaries both on the Book of Zohar and the writings of the Uri, Kabbalist Isaac Luria, and he also wrote several essays that explained Kabbalah's basic concepts and fundamental principles so that any person could learn Kabbalah's fundamentals and progress to the purpose of creation. He taught a few people, and mainly it was his older son, the great Kabbalist Baruch Shalom HaLevi Ashlag, Rabash, who wrote the entire method of spiritual development for us, which is suited to us living in our times, that is, to the souls that now descend to the world. I invite everyone to watch today's daily Kabbalah lesson where we studied the article, The Order of the Work of Baal HaSulam by Kabbalist Baruch Shalom HaLevi Ashlag, Rabash. Also, if anyone is new to the wisdom of Kabbalah and to the method of Baal HaSulam, then I recommend getting started with courses that my students put together in our learning environment for beginners, Kaboo. In order to get a structured grounding in Kabbalah's fundamentals, see the links in my bio. Based on the daily Kabbalah lesson with Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman on Tuesday, September 26, 2023. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. Gratitude to those who paved the way for us. Today is a special memorial day for Baal HaSulam, Rav Yehuda Ashlag, the great Kabbalist who paved the way for us that leads to the correction of the world. Thanks to him, we know how to behave in order not to make mistakes and stray from the path of the Creator. Baal HaSulam's methodology is based on the achievements of Kabbalists who lived before him. That is why we are grateful that we have such a teacher and that we can be his disciples, follow him in his way, and be sure that we will achieve the goal of creation in this lifetime. Baal HaSulam left us many Kabbalistic articles and books and also taught his students, and most importantly, his eldest son, Baruch Ashlag, Rabash, who described the entire method of spiritual work suitable for our days, our time, for the souls descending into the world today. From the first part of the daily Kabbalah lesson September 26, 2023. Writing of Rabash, The Order of the Work, from Baal HaSulam. Michael Leitman, on the Times of Israel, what the Jonah story tells us about anti-Semitism. 9 years ago, I published an article in the New York Times, print edition, titled, What We Jews Owe the World. This year, come Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, I'd like to share it with everyone following me, as I think that the message within can have a major impact on the future of our nation. Buying our way to heaven. The holiest day of the year for the Jews is Yom Kippur, when we fast and pray. A key part of the prayer is reading the book of Jonah the prophet. Interestingly, many observant Jews believe that buying the privilege to read the book will make them successful for the rest of the year. Naturally, only the wealthiest in the community can afford to compete for it. The sums vary according to the affluence of the community, and in some cases the privilege is sold for well over $500,000. Cracking the code. What people are not aware of, however, is the real reason why the Book of Jonah is so important. Kabbalists determined that this reading is the most important in the year because it details the code for saving humanity. Jonah's story is special because it speaks of a prophet who first tried to dodge his mission, but finally repented. Another special aspect of Jonah's story is that his mission was not to admonish the people of Israel, but to save the city of Nineveh, whose residents were not Jewish. In light of today's precarious state of the world, we should take a closer look at this story and its meaning for each of us. Shape up or ship out. In the story, God orders Jonah to tell the people of Nineveh, who became very mean to one another, to correct their relationships with one another if they want to survive. However, Jonah bailed out of his mission and took to the sea in an effort to escape God's command. Like Jonah, we Jews have been inadvertently avoiding our mission for the past 2,000 years. And yet, we cannot afford to keep avoiding it. We have a task that was passed down to us when Moses united us into a nation based on the tenet, love your neighbor as yourself, and it is our duty to set an example of unity for the rest of the world. Our forefathers, Abraham and Moses, wanted to unite all of humanity, but back then the world was not ready. For more on that, see my article, Why Do People Hate Jews? That group, namely the people of Israel, must still become a role model to the world. Rav Kook, the first chief rabbi of Israel, put it poetically in his book, Akodesh, Sacred Lights, since we were ruined by unfounded hatred, and the world was ruined with us, we will be rebuilt by unfounded love, and the world will be rebuilt with us. Sleeping through the storm. In the story, Jonah's escape from his mission by ship caused the sea to roar and nearly sank the vessel. At the height of the storm, Jonah went to sleep, detaching himself from the turmoil and leaving the sailors to fend for themselves. Gradually, they began to suspect that someone among them was the cause of the storm. They cast a lot and the lot fell on Jonah, the only Jew on board. In many ways, today's world is similar to Jonah's ship. As Christine Lagarde, head of the International Monetary Fund, put it, we are all in one boat, one global economy. Our fortunes rise together, and they fall together. We have a collective responsibility to bring about a more stable and more prosperous world, a world in which every person in every country can reach their full potential. Yet, the sea around us is raging, and the sailors, who are all of humanity, are blaming the Jew on board for all their troubles. Like Jonah, we are sound asleep. Though we are beginning to wake up to the existence of hatred toward us, we have yet to realize that not carrying out our mission is the reason for the hatred. If we do not wake up soon, the sailors will throw us overboard, as they did with Jonah. Yehuda Ashlag, author of the Sulam, Ladder, Commentary on the Zohar, wrote in his essay, The Avut, Mutual Guarantee, it is incumbent upon the Israeli nation to qualify itself and the rest of the people in the world to evolve into assuming this sublime work of love of others. The wake-up call. Jonah tells the sailors to throw him overboard, as only this will calm the sea. Reluctantly, the sailors obey and the storm calms. A whale swallows Jonah, and for 3 days and three nights he stays in its abdomen, introspecting his actions and decisions. He begs for his life and vows to carry out his mission. Like Jonah, each of us carries within something that is stirring up the world. We, the people of Israel, carry a method for achieving peace through connection. Unity is the very root of our being. This DNA is what makes us a people, because we were declared a nation only after we pledged to be as one man with one heart and strove to love our neighbor as ourselves. Today we must rekindle this bond, because wherever we go, this untapped power is destabilizing the world around us in order to compel us to unite and reignite it. Just as the current separation among us projects separation to the whole of humanity, unity between us will inspire the rest of the nations to unite, as well. When we unite, it will endow humanity with the energy required to achieve worldwide unity, where all people live as one man with one heart. So the only question is whether we assume our responsibility, or prefer to be thrown overboard, only to subsequently agree to carry out our task. If we want to end our troubles, be rid of anti-Semitism and have a safe and happy life, we must unite and thus set an example of unity for all the nations. This is how we will bring peace and quiet to the world. Otherwise the nation's hatred toward us will keep growing. Now we see that when people pay so much for the privilege of reading the Book of Jonah on Yom Kippur, they inadvertently state their support of the mission of the Jewish people toward the world, to be a light unto nations by showing an example of unity and connection. To conclude, let me quote once more the great Rav Kook: any turmoil in the world comes only for Israel. Now we are called upon to carry out a great task willingly and mindfully, to build ourselves and the entire ruined world along with us. Igrot, letters. Yom Kippur, Judgment Day. Yom Kippur is the Judgment Day. Who is judging? Who is being judged? What should a person do on this day? What will happen if a person does everything right? On Judgment Day, a person judges himself, rises above his own egoism, and reveals the world as a single system. It is no coincidence that Jews have always been accused of cosmopolitanism. After all distinctions are conditional, and our primordial, internal basis is alien to them. Today, when the world is in desperate need of unity, the Jewish people are divided. However, we cannot deceive other nations. They instinctively, without realizing it, demand from us to take on the mission of unifiers, to merge hearts into one heart. This is the essence of our Judgment Day. According to timeline. Question: in corporeal sensation, why is a day divided into 24 hours, a year into 365 days, etc.? Answer: this is a consequence of spiritual states in our world. We perceive everything this way because we do not control our corporeal states. But as soon as we begin to control them, time disappears and we become its creators. Comment: people have always dreamed of time travel. My response: so what is the problem? There is no problem because it all exists in a single, common whole. Depending on your state, you are at one level or at the other. In spirituality, you move along the timeline back and forth, choosing what you want. If you need it to move forward and promote others, that, like everything else, is available. A Kabbalist always tries to be at the highest possible level and to constantly advance and ascend. But in order to connect with others, to help others, he creates an additional image of himself, just as an adult lowers himself to the level of a small child, in order to play with him. Then, by creating his own small image, he comes into contact with ordinary people, communicates with them, teaches them, and slowly invites them to rise independently. But at the same time, he himself is still at the highest possible level and is constantly trying to improve it. Comment: that means there is no other reason for him to descend if not to help others. My response: a Kabbalist does not actually descend, as he only wants to ascend. But for the sake of others, he makes for himself, so to speak, an additional Pacht Suf, that is, an additional system, like a mother playing with a child stoops to the level of a little girl to play. Question: are such Kabbalists as Balha Sulam and Rabash present in our current state? Answer: what for? They did their job and that is it. They are present, but not in such a state that we can contact them. From Cab TV's I Got a Call. Time Travel, September 29, 2011. What to do if your mother-in-law is hounding you to death? Comment: Anya writes, we live with our parents. My husband insisted on it because we wanted to save money. And now I cannot bear it anymore. I am bursting with hatred for his mother. She criticizes everything: how I cook, How I iron, how I raise children. We cannot move away yet, and my husband says we need to wait at least another year. I do not know what to do. I cannot live like this. Right now, I have closed myself in my room and I am writing to you. I understand that this is my ego, that I need to somehow adapt myself to her, but I cannot control myself. Does she not have an ego? A big one. My response, of course. But you should think about yourself. If you constantly put yourself down, you will eventually come to a state in which your ego will decrease, and this is good. Question: so, peace will gradually come? Answer: there may not even be peace, but as for you, you should see that such a state can be very useful. Question: and when you say put yourself down, does that mean to agree? Answer: to agree, to somehow distance yourself as far as possible and not to enter into conflicts. Question: that is, his mother tells her, you iron, cook, and raise children so badly. Do you think this woman, Anya, should at least keep silent? And this will be advancement for her? Answer: yes. Question: so, you see that this is a never-ending war? Answer: it cannot end in any way. Question: do you think that Anya should be smarter here? Answer: she should be wiser. Question: should she close herself in her room? It is easier to leave and not listen. Just like that she closes herself in her room and stays there. Answer: but that is not correction. Correction takes place only through contact. She must tell herself that it is by this decision, when she does not enter into conflict and stays away from it in every possible way without arousing it, that she gradually corrects her egoism. In this way, she saves her family. Question: can you please tell her if she can move to such a state that at some point she will be able to say some kind words to her husband's mother? Can this happen? Answer: only when she becomes convinced that she has corrected herself due to her husband's mother. And then she can hug her and say thank you. Question: now you have introduced one more detail, that due to her husband's mother she can correct herself. That is, she already has gratitude even for the mother whom she now hates. Answer: yes. Question: but these first steps are not easy to take? Answer: this can be corrected only if she sees in her husband's mother the creator who raises her this way. Question: could you please decipher the creator for us? She sees that behind the mother there is something that is working with her. Should and wishes me well be added here? Should we make such a cluster or should we not? Answer: the mother is ruled by the creator. Anya should figure this out. Question: will it be good if Anya takes small steps in this? Answer: if she does, then yes. From CabTV's News with Dr. Michael Lateman, July 31, 2023. At the level of mind and desire. According to the law of evolution, we have reached a state when nature no longer changes at the inanimate, vegetative, or animate levels, but begins to change at the level of mind and desires. Previously, when we had not yet reached the level of the monkey, nature was constantly changing physically, and under the pressure of various cataclysms, explosions of stars, etc., it created matter. Then this matter formed the planet Earth. Then life appeared on it, and all this was under the external influence of nature, which formed the inanimate, vegetative, and animate levels of matter. Today nature influences us. But it is already at the next level, at the level of the mind, at the level of its program, its purpose, and it manifests itself in new conditions. You do not want to become extinct, a dinosaur? Then adjust to it. Otherwise, you will die out. Kabbalah tells us how to adapt to the natural conditions that are manifested before us today. We cannot escape anywhere. In any case, we must fulfill this program of creation. We have only two possibilities. Either we will come to this voluntarily or with great suffering when out of 8 billion people 7 million will maybe remain or even less, it does not matter how many. But still, we will reach a state of complete harmony with nature, that is, complete adhesion with the Creator. From CapTV's I got a call. You didn't say something September 3rd, 2011. Summon the upper light. Question. Before crossing the Muxum, a person comes to a state when a cry to the Creator arises in him. This is the last point from which he enters the spiritual world. How can this point be described? Is it similar to an animal being cornered? Answer, a person corners himself, but not toward death. By building the right and left lines in himself simultaneously, he drives himself between them so that the positive and negative parts are revealed in him, the property of bestowal, the spiritual property, and the property of reception, the egoistic property. They are so opposite and insoluble that he utters a cry and calls the upper light upon himself, which can unite them together according to the rule of will cover all transgressions. Question. But is this like a state where there are no more options and he screams? Answer. No. This is a conscious state that does not come from above, but you yourself accumulate it within you. This is called the cry of the soul. If it comes from the depths of the heart, then the answer comes to it, the heavens open. From CapTV's I got a call. The last cry before death October 20th, 2011. Reveal the upper system in yourself. Question. How can we correctly use all the situations that are given to us and feel the spiritual world, and not just shout at the wrong point? Answer. Incorrect shouting gradually give birth to the correct cry. No one is hiding anything from you. You just have to reveal everything within yourself. Do you think that I am going to give you some kind of patent right now and you will start manipulating yourself and the world, move yourself this way and that way? It will not work. You have to discover this system step by step within yourself and learn how to manage it. In other words, grow up as a small child grows. At the same time, you gain the powers of growth and knowledge. At least they are in front of you. In our world, a child is pushed forward as he is growing up. In the spiritual world, a person himself determines the pace of his own development. From CapTV's I got a call. The last scream before death October 24, 2011. Rise above criticism. Question. You said that it makes no sense to criticize a friend because the Creator created him that way. But how can you suppress some criticism in yourself so as not to harm him and everyone else? Answer. Criticism can only be about dissemination, nothing else, because by disseminating, he helps everyone, and by not disseminating, he drills a hole in the boat. Just this. Everything else is not his. His eye depends only on how to make the most effective use of his properties and his capabilities. Question. Do you mean internal or external dissemination? Answer. Both. Question. And how can I know what spreads internally? Answer. We can still see his efforts. I can see that. From CapTV's I got a call. To love the Creator. To hate creation. October 22, 2011. Michael Lateman, on Quora, can you love an evil person? Yes, you can love people who perform even the most despicable of acts because within them is a point of a soul. We have to understand that there is a difference between bodies and souls. People who do good or bad in the world have no souls. A soul is called a part of divinity from above. We are made of desires to enjoy, which are called body. And their base enjoyment is at a corporeal level where we aim to enjoy through pleasures for food, sex, family, money, honor, control and knowledge. Eventually within our desire to enjoy emerges a tiny point of a desire that stems from a higher spiritual degree, above corporeality. Instead of wishing to enjoy for personal benefit alone, this tiny point of a desire is rooted in a world filled with the quality of nature itself, love and bestowal, beyond the limits of our corporeal desires. If we have such a desire, then we have a part of the soul, and if we feel no such desire to rise above our corporeal desires in a manner of love and bestowal upon others and nature, then we have no soul, not even its starting point. We can liken this point of a desire to a seed that needs to be placed in the right conditions, such as fertile soil, with moisture, air and a certain amount of sunlight, for its development into a blossoming plant. In other words, we have to place this point of the soul into a protected place that is capable of developing it into a fully grown soul, which can love, bestow and connect similarly to nature's boundless quality of love and bestowal. Kabbalists define this point of the soul as it emerges among our corporeal desires as the point in the heart. That is, the heart is our corporeal desires, where we feel transient pleasures and a temporary existence, and the point in the heart is the desire that is rooted in the soul, where we can feel complete harmony, peace and an eternal existence. If we feel such a desire within us, a point that raises questions about the meaning of life, why we are here, who we are, what is reality, why there is so much suffering in the world, and other fundamental existential questions, then we can place such a desire under conditions that can develop it into its state as a soul. That is what the wisdom of Kabbalah teaches, how to develop the point in the heart, inflating it with various means up to a certain volume, and within such a volume, to grow a feeling of love, bestowal and positive connection to everyone and to nature itself. In such a state, we attain our soul. Therefore, in relation to the soul's development, we can add love, care and aim to give it whatever necessary in order for it to blossom into its eternal and whole state. However, in relation to the egoistic desires, there is no need to love any of them. Kabbalists call the ego, that is, the desire to enjoy at the expense of others and nature, the evil inclination, and it is ultimately in a state of death. It is bound to be destroyed from its outset because it can feel no lasting pleasure and fulfillment according to its very nature. Therefore, we can develop love not toward the egoistic part of us where all destruction and suffering are sourced, but in the part within every person called human, the point in the heart that can develop into a completely loving and bestowing intention that can bring life and light into the world. The egoistic desires within us are opposite to nature's altruistic and eternal form. They are thus not considered human, which is a word in Hebrew, Adam, that stems from the word for similar, Dome, from the phrase, Adamala Alion, similar to the Most High. In other words, a human being is one who develops their point in the heart in a manner that is similar to nature's force of love and bestowal, and by doing so, we rise to the human level in similarity with nature where we discover the eternity and perfection of nature's altruistic quality. In such a state, we can love thy neighbor as thyself, that is, we discover the common force of love, bestowal and positive connection that is in our soul, and which connects our points in the hearts together into one soul. No matter how evil any person is in their egoistic desires, it is possible to constantly aim at awakening the point in the heart, the part of divinity from above, within every person, and try to direct its development above the egoistic desires in order to discover nature's quality of love, bestowal and connection, the soul where we all connect equally in our common desire that is similar to nature's. Based on Ask the Kabbalist with Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman on July 12, 2023. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman.